Amen. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. This evening we continue our study for the faith, and we are studying having the faith to surrender all. This evening we're going to study one of the very first Bible accounts or stories that I ever read as a young man. When I got big enough to read and I knew that my name was a Bible name, and I've had people tell me that since I was a little boy. I'd meet them, "What's your name, little boy?" And I'd say, "Isaac." "Oh, that's a good Bible name. Good Bible name." And so I was curious about that, and I learned how to use my concordance, and I looked my name up in the Bible, and I went and read, and this was my namesake's claim to fame. He got almost sacrificed by his dad. I thought, this is awesome. Isaac, and it's laughter. And so I set about to live up to that. I was the class clown in elementary school, and I got in a lot of trouble. And so that wasn't good. So I don't know about namesakes, and I don't know about it being a good Bible name, but we have a great story in the Bible tonight, a great account in Scripture that will help us about having the faith to surrender all. We're not going to focus on Isaac, but we are going to focus on his father, Abraham, the father of our faith. If you're able, let's stand together, and we'll read verses 1 through 3 to get our text get started tonight. Genesis 22, verse 1. "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here am I, or here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him." Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless your word tonight as we study it. Help me to present it exactly as you'd have me to. Help us to learn, Lord, how to be completely surrendered to your will, to give whatever you ask of us to you, Lord, just to trust you and obey you. And please bless our time together now, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Men, please be seated. The word surrender means to cease resistance, to submit to authority, to give up or hand over a person, right, or possession, to abandon oneself entirely, to give in. And that definition is exact picture of the steps, the things that we need to have in our lives as we submit. It means to cease resistance. And in our lives, spiritually, the spirit that is in us wants to do what God wants us to do, while our flesh wants to resist what God wants us to do. And so when we submit or we surrender, we stop resisting and we just do what God wants us to do. It means to submit to authority. Jesus Christ is the Lord and Master of our lives, and we've got to get to a place where we just surrender. We submit to his authority. That's what surrender means. It means to give up or hand over a person, right, or possession. And we've got an illusion in our lives that we're in control of some things. But the reality is, nothing belongs to us. Amen. We don't even belong to us. Amen. We are a purchased possession. Everything we are, everything that we have, everything that we have an authority over, it all belongs to the Lord. And so we need to surrender that to God, to abandon oneself entirely. And that's what it means to be sold out for the Lord Jesus Christ, to abandon yourself completely, to give up all of your ideas, all of your fleshly desires, to give up all of your whatever, to give it all over to the Lord, to give in. And the Holy Spirit of God works in our life each day to guide us in the right way, to pull us down the right path, to lead us in the right way. And we've got to learn to surrender to the Lord. Nowhere, I don't think anywhere in Scripture, is the concept of surrender more clearly seen in our study tonight. God calls to Abraham, and he says, that son, your only son, the one I promised you, the one I promised to give you, the one I promised to make of you a great nation through, I want you to sacrifice that son. I want you to give him as a burnt offering unto me. And so as we study about what Abraham did and his surrender to the Lord, it'll help us to learn how we need to surrender to the Lord in our lives each day. Number one, the prompting to surrender. In the first verse of our account here, it says, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. God is calling Abraham to action, and he's calling him to do something. And if you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit's voice in your heart each day, God's going to call you to do some things too. Sometimes God's going to call you to read your Bible. He's going to call you to time of prayer. He's going to call you to go and witness to somebody. He's going to call you to go and encourage somebody. He's going to move in your heart to move you to action. He may move in your heart to give an offering in the church or to give a special offering. He may move in your heart to go and help somebody. He moves in our hearts, and when we listen to him, he calls us to action. He wants us to make decisions each day. The Lord wants us to choose him over our flesh. He wants us to daily choose him over other things. And so we have this prompting to surrender. Letter A, this prompting's reason was to prove him. Now, the Bible tells us that God tempted Abraham. Now, does that mean that God tempted Abraham to sin? No, James chapter 1, verse 13 tells us that God doesn't tempt any man to sin. So it doesn't mean tempt as in try to get him to sin, but it does mean tempt as in to test him or to prove him. And God gave him an opportunity to pass or fail, to prove his love for and faith in God. And that's what this testing or proving is. In Exodus 16 and verse 4, we learn about how God tested the Israelites with the manna. The Lord said unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And you remember how God said, I'm going to give you the manna. I'm going to give it to you 6 days a week. On the sixth day, I want you to gather a double portion so you have enough for the seventh day. I don't want you to get out there on the seventh day. And you remember God was testing them, and some of them obeyed, but a lot of them didn't. You remember they didn't do it the way God said, and it didn't work out. The manna spoiled. It got worms in it. It got nasty. And God was testing them to prove their faith in God. We look into the New Testament, and Paul encouraged the Corinthians to be involved in a special offering. He's like, I want you to gather on the first day of the week. I want you to lay up in store. I want you to bring your tithes and offerings into the storehouse of the church on the first day of the week. And when I come, I want it all to be ready, this special offering. And he says in 2 Corinthians 8:8, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. And their giving to the work of the Lord was something that would test their true faith and love and sincerity in the things of God. Hey, if you want to know where somebody's heart really is today, you needn't look no farther than their check register. Is that fair? I think it's pretty accurate. I know some dear, sweet men in this church I love dearly, and they love guns. And if you looked at a record of the money that they've put into guns over the years, I'm trying not to make eye contact with anybody right now. Just look down for a second. Where they've put their money proves that they love those guns. I love guns too. I'm not getting on to you. That I'm just telling you that Paul said when you give to the work of the Lord, it's going to prove the sincerity of your love for God and for his work. Letter B, this prompting revealed his priorities. It revealed his priorities. Now in verse 1, he said, here I am. God calls to him, Abraham. Abraham says, here I am. But it wasn't just to let God know where he was. I think God pretty well knew that. Now this statement, here I am, has more of the idea of I'm reporting for duty. The idea behind this statement, here I am, is I'm right here, Lord. I'm ready for your orders. What do you want me to do? You see the difference? He wasn't just letting God know where he was on the planet. God knows that. But what he was, it was a statement saying, I'm ready to do what you want me to do, reporting for duty. And that's exactly our response, what it needs to be every day. We need to wake up, Lord, and say, Lord, here I am. What do you want me to do today? And we need to have that heart to do what God wants us to do. Serving the Lord and following his will for our lives needs to be our number one priority. In Genesis 12, when the Lord first called Abraham to follow him, Abraham decided he would belong to the Lord, and therefore everything Abraham had belonged to God. God has me, he's got everything I've got, and what God wants me to do with it, that's what I'm going to do. And that's the attitude that he had. We fast forward to the New Testament, and there in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the Apostle Paul is trying to talk to the Corinthian church about giving for the work of the Lord, and he uses the Macedonian churches as an example. He says, praying us in 2 Corinthians 8, verses 4 and 5, praying with us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. By the way, you'll never give your time or talents or treasures to the work of God if you don't first give yourself to God. He's got to have you. And when you give yourself to the Lord, then all those other things can follow. They gave their selves to the Lord. Randy Alcorn wrote a book, The Treasure Principle, and in it he said, to everyone's amazement, Sam Houston, the colorful soldier and politician, came to Christ. After his baptism, Sam Houston said he wanted to pay half of the local minister's salary. And when someone asked him why, he responded, my pocketbook was baptized too. And that's the attitude. He said, listen, the Lord didn't just get me. He got my pocketbook too. You know, that's a good thing that he pointed that out, because I think a lot of people don't get that. Well, the Lord's got my soul, but as far as my stuff, that's something entirely different. No. He's got you, he ought to have all of your stuff too. It all belongs to the Lord. And that was the attitude that Abraham had. God had given him this promised son, and in his mind, he trusted God enough that he was willing to sacrifice that son because God gave him, and he trusted God. God gave me this son, and I can do what God wants me to do because God is the one who gave him to me. Letter C, this prompting required what was precious. I may be reading into this a little bit too much, but I want you to look there at verse 1, at verse 2. In verse 2, it seems like the Lord really wants Abraham to get the extremity of what he's asking. Because he doesn't just say, I want you to take Isaac and offer him. But listen to the language that God uses. He says, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering. The Lord could have just said, I want you to take Isaac. But he didn't. He said, I want you to take your son. I want to take your only son. I want you to take your only son, Isaac. I want you to take your only son, Isaac, that you love, and I want you to give him as a burnt offering. You see, God often wants us to surrender that which is most precious to us. He wants us to give that which is precious. It's a principle throughout the scriptures. When they were to go among their flocks and herds to find a sacrifice, they didn't go find one that was sick and weak and hurt and no good. No, God instructed them to find one that was without spot, one that was without blemish. God said, I want you to give me your very, very best. That's what I want from you. And that principle carries through the scriptures. You remember Mark 14:3, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, he sat at meat, and there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head. And she gave that which was very costly, that which was very precious, and she sacrificed it in an act of worship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, the thing that's very most precious to you, we ought to be willing to give up the most precious thing that we have for the cause of Christ. What is it that is most precious to you? And would you be willing to give it if God called you to surrender it today? Number two, the process of surrender. The process of surrender. Let's look there in Genesis 22. Look down at verse 3 through 10. Genesis 22, 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But you notice a few things about this process of surrender. First of all, letter A, the process involved preparation. God calls him. He says, I want you to take Isaac. I want you to go into Mount Moriah, and I'm going to tell you what mountain there, and I want you to sacrifice your son. And so he gets up early in the morning, and he gets the wood together, and he gets Isaac together, and he gets all the stuff that he needs. He gets his fire and the wood and Isaac, and he gets his servants, and they saddle up and they head out. But there was a preparation that had to take place. I want you to know that when we surrender to God, you're going to have to do some preparation for that to happen. None of us serve God by accident. None of us follow the Lord's will by accident. And by going on the path of least resistance is not going to get you to where God wants you. There's going to have to be a choice, a conscious choice, a willful intention, and some preparation that has to take place. In other words, if you're going to do what God wants you to do, you're going to have to lay aside some things that aren't as important, and you're going to have to make some things that are important a priority in your life. There's got to be preparation. We've got to prepare our hearts to do the Lord's will. I know it's so basic, but it is absolutely essential. If we are not daily in prayer with God, if we are not daily reading and studying the Word of God, we cannot find ourselves in the will of God. It takes the preparation of Bible study and prayer, faithfulness. I know those are all those Sunday school answers. Pray, read your Bible, go to church, witness. But that's it. It's doing those things that keep us in the right place to do the will of God, to surrender to His will. Let it be the process involved praise. As Abraham and Isaac left the group, he says, I want you guys to stay here with the stuff. And you notice that he said, the lad and I, we're going to go yonder to worship. I'm going to go kill my son. This is worship. But that was the attitude of Abraham's heart. He said, we're going to obey the will of God. That's what worship really is. Worship is true surrender to the Lord. Stepping out in obedience to Him, offering the sacrifices that God has demanded, that's what worship really is. We got this idea that worship today is a certain kind of song service. And worship can take place in a song service. But worship is far more than that. Worship is about the surrender of our will to the will of God. Worship is about obedience to the commandments of God. To obey is better than sacrifice. This worship is an obedience to the will of God. Remember in 2 Samuel 24, David needed to make an offering to God. He needed to make a sacrifice to atone for his sin. And you'll remember it says in 2 Samuel 24:24, and the king said unto Araunah, Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord of my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. David understood something. If I'm going to offer something to God, it's going to cost me something. I'm not going to give something to the Lord that doesn't cost me anything. And he requires a sacrifice, and that sacrifice is praise to the Lord. In Hebrews 13, verses 15 and 16, he says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." And that word communicate in Hebrews 13, 16, it means to give. It means financially, sacrificially, to give to the needs of others. And that is an act of praise to God when we give something up to the Lord. Letter C, the process involved pressure. The process involved pressure. They got up early in the morning, got all their stuff together. And how long did it say they traveled? For 3 days, they traveled towards Mount Moriah. And you remember that he stopped and left the servants with the stuff when the mountain was yet afar off. Now, how many of you have driven out like Colorado or places where there's mountains? Anybody driven out there? Has anybody else noticed when you're driving towards a mountain, you're like, oh, it's right there. And you drive and you drive and you drive and you drive, and it's still, it doesn't get any bigger. It doesn't get any closer. It's like it takes forever. And I think about this, and it tells us that they traveled for 3 days and the mountains were far off. I don't know, but I've got it in my mind they still had to go a little ways on. And I want you to just imagine this. The faith that was in Abraham, because God said, I want you to sacrifice your son. They had to travel for 3 days, and every step of the journey, he's got to be thinking about it. I just got to imagine he's got this knife on his belt, and he puts his hand on the knife, and he's thinking about it. He's imagining what he's going to have to do when he gets there. I mean, he's got the wood. Maybe the donkey carrying the wood's behind him, and he turns around and looks at all that firewood, and he sees his son there riding along beside him, and he just gets this picture in his mind. I'm going to have to kill him, and I'm going to burn him on an altar. And I just can't even begin to wrap my mind around what that must have been like. Step by step, moment by moment, looking towards that time. And obviously, Abraham had great faith in God, because I don't know, at any time I'd have been like, I changed my mind. I can't do this. You know, sometimes it's easy for us in a moment to say, oh, I'll do that for God. I'll do that. But we get excited, maybe in a revival service, we get excited, or we have an emotional experience at church or at church camp or something like that, or something happens and it really moves us and we're stirred up and we're like, oh, yeah, I'll do that. But then as time goes on, that excitement fades and our commitment kind of wanes. But for day after day after day, Abraham knew exactly where he was going, exactly what he was going to do, and he never turned away. I'm going to do what God called me to do. He had a resolve about him. He had a commitment about him. But just imagine the pressure. Imagine the pressure that was on him. You know, the Bible never tells us that following God's going to be easy. Amen. Living the Christian life is hard. As a matter of fact, it's so hard that it's impossible for us to do on our own. Amen. You can't surrender to the will of God by your own, in your own power. You can't live in the will of God in your own strength. You can't. It's impossible for us to do. So we've got to allow that pressure of striving to do what God wants us to do to force us on our knees, to force us to trust in the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 38 and 39, the Bible says, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." We need to be the kind of people today that have faith in the Lord. We don't draw back from it. We just keep pressing on with faith in the Lord. Letter D, the process involved proving God. The process involved proving God. I guess verse 8 is probably my favorite verse in this account in Scripture. they leave the guys behind and they're going on. And Isaac, we don't know exactly how old he was. Some people think he was pretty young, 7 or 8. Some people think he might have been as old as 12 or 13. I don't really know. He was old enough to carry firewood. How old was he, Brother Rick?
26.
26. There you go. He wasn't a baby. So there they are. Abraham lays the wood on him, and they start up the mountain. And Isaac looks around and he says, "All right, I see the wood, I see the fire. But last time I checked, when we go to offering things to the Lord, usually there's a lamb." And he says, "Hey, Dad, we got the wood and we got the fire, but where's the lamb? Where's the sacrifice for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." I love it. I love it. You see, Abraham trusted the Lord. You notice when he told the servants that were with them, he said, "I and the lad will go yonder to worship and come again." He had incredible faith in God. You see, there is no question in my mind, Abraham was going to go through with it. He wasn't just going through the motions. When he took the knife in hand and was about to slay his son, he was going to slay him. The knife was going to come down. He was going to take his life. Hebrews 11, verses 17 through 19. "By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure." And Abraham, see, Abraham's mind wasn't, "God's going to make another way." Abraham's idea was, "I'm going to kill him, I'm going to give him as a burnt offering, and then the Lord's going to raise him again." That's what he thought was going to happen. Now that's faith in God. He believed. He had great faith, and he was, listen, God wants us to prove him. God's attitude is, just try me. We can trust God. And you can claim with great faith the promises of God. Malachi 3:10, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it." God says, "Listen, you give to me and I'll take care of you more than you could ever imagine." Amen. Prove me. God says, "Just try me. Just try me." And man, Abraham was willing to try the Lord, to test the Lord, to prove the Lord, and he trusted him. Number three, the promise of surrender. The promise of surrender. Back in our text, Genesis 22, verse 11. Verse 11. "And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of the heavens the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." Letter A, the promise resulted in God's provision. Resulted in God's provision. God did something in the life of Abraham on that day that he often does in our lives today. He provided just in time. Listen, God could have had the ram up there thrashing around in the thicket as soon as they got up on top of the hill. He could have had the lamb caught in a thicket, the ram caught in a thicket anywhere along the road up there. But God didn't do that. Did you get this? I mean, he gets up there, sets about to build on the altar. He lays the wood in order. He ties up Isaac and lays him down. And all this time, there's no ram. It wasn't until he pulls the knife out and he's ready to take his life that the Lord says, stop. The angel Lord says, Abraham. And then he looks up, and out of nowhere, there's a ram thrashing around in a thicket. You see, God provided just in time. God is going to test our faith sometimes. God's going to prove. God's going to bring us to the place where we're not really sure how this thing's going to work out. I don't really know what to do in this situation. I don't know what else to do. God will put us out there where we have no choice but just to trust in him. And then he'll take care of us. He'll provide just in time. Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. The idea is God will see to it. God will see to it. God will provide. And he provided for Abraham, and he will provide for you. Jesus told us in Matthew 6:31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The promise resulted in God's provision. The promise, let her be, required God's providence. God's providence. The word providence is a compound word. It comes from the root word video or video, and it means I see, and pro, which means before. In other words, providence means God sees before. The providence of God is because God knows. God is sovereign. God is in control. You see, God worked everything out at just the right time for that to all happen. I mean, what in the world was that ram doing? Why did it go up there in the first place? What did it do getting its head stuck in the thicket? Well, because God directed it there. God took care of it. You think about Jonah. What in the world? God brought up the storm to the point that those sailors were afraid for their lives, to the point that they had no choice but to throw Jonah overboard. And just at the right time, a whale happened to be swimming by, swallow him up. A whale that could swallow him, that he could live inside of it for 3 days. You think about the day that Peter denied Christ. You know, all those things that took place that night when Peter denied Christ, they all had to happen at just the right moment, didn't they? Those accusations came at just the right time to where the very last time he denies him, immediately the cock crows. I mean, so many things could have worked out differently to where it wouldn't have worked out just that way, but God is in control of those things. You know, God's in control of your circumstances too. The things that happen in our lives, the way they work out, God's in control of that. And we've got to get to a place where we just trust in him. The providence of God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Let her see the promise recorded God's prediction. So the Lord says, basically, because you surrendered to me, because you trusted me, because you didn't hold anything back, because you gave all, because you surrendered all, he says, I am going to bless you. I'm going to multiply your seed, and I'm going to bless others through you. You see, when we give to God, God blesses in a great way. Luke 6:38, Jesus said, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And I'm telling you, when you are surrendered to the Lord, God will bless you in a great way. I want you to consider the blessings that God gave to Abraham. Now, Abraham was a great, mighty, and wealthy man, wasn't he? Amen. He had a lot of stuff. Financially, he was blessed. Physically, he was blessed. And then he was able to have these generations to come. But I want you to consider this. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16. Would you look at that with me? Galatians 3:16. He said, in blessing I will bless thee, in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And then he says, back in our text in verse 18, that in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Now Galatians 3:16 says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. What was the ultimate result of Abraham's surrender to God? Because he obeyed the Lord, God blessed him, and because of that blessing, the promised seed came, and that seed is Jesus Christ. What was at stake? What if Abraham didn't obey? What if he didn't trust God? What if he didn't follow through? I mean, it's hard to wrap my mind around that, because he did, and basically this entire book depends on the fact that he obeyed, because he trusted, because he had faith. Think about it. How much of this do we have to throw away if at this moment he doesn't have faith, he doesn't obey? But because he obeyed, God said, I'm going to bless you. And in your seed, the whole world's going to be blessed. Because he obeyed, the lineage of Christ came, and Jesus Christ came to save the whole world. Now, you and I obey or disobey God. If we have faith or don't have faith, is it going to have that kind of impact, the salvation of the whole world? I don't know that we're going to have that kind of impact, but I promise you this. It may not impact the whole world, but it'll impact your world. When we have faith in God, or whether we don't have faith in God, will impact whether others will come to know Jesus Christ. So why is it that God tests his children? Why is it that God allows us to go through these proving times? God gives us an opportunity to demonstrate our faith and love to him. God's not trying to set you up to fail. God's trying to set you up for blessings. Do you ever struggle to fully trust the Lord? Do you ever struggle with having faith in every area of your life? Listen, what God called Abraham to do, it's beyond my comprehension. You never see anything like it before or after. God just doesn't call us to sacrifice like that. But I think the picture there is incredible. Listen, God was willing to make the sacrifice. God was willing not just to provide the lamb, he was willing to be the lamb. And if he's willing to do all of that for us, how much more should we be willing to give everything to him? This evening, we're going to prepare for an invitation. And while they're coming, would you stand with me, please? Tonight we look at the life of Abraham, we look at the faith of Abraham, we look at the surrender that he had in his life. I wonder, is there anything that you and I may be holding back from the Lord? Some area of our life, some things, some possessions, some sin that we're not willing to give up. Listen, we are missing out on incredible blessings from God if we're willing to give to him, have faith in him, trust and obey him. If he's convicting your heart about anything tonight, would you come while we sing?
Page 558.
Number 558. 558. Holy Spirit speaks.